Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told.
I bet you there were lots of fathers around the country that felt like they were the man yesterday, especially my co-host Sean Boyd, as we get set for the post-Father's Day edition of On the Double with the Double S Express, show 57.
Yes, the belated happy Father's Day to all the dads out there who had the chance to enjoy a great occasion. I know that, you know, I did personally, of course. You know, the family didn't disappoint, and so it was an exciting time for me. And man, I'm relaxed and rested and ready to start the show here, Mr. Wally.
And Sean, we've got good and happy things to talk about, and unfortunately, not so good, not so happy things as well.
Yeah, the unhappy that you're talking about, you know, just we lost a good one in the world of Major League Baseball and actually in sports in general, Sean. And you know what I'm talking about is the passing of Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn was Mr. Clutch, you know, always, you know, there for his team to make that base hit. You know, he wasn't the type of person to actually be braggadocious. He just went out and did his job, and that's the type of person he was in the locker room, and that's the type of person that he was outside of the locker room. And so, you know, in the sports world, we've lost a great one. And Tony Gwynn died this morning of cancer. And, you know, we just wish all the condolences to the Gwynn family and everybody in Sports Nation. You know, we're again, mourning the loss of a great, great sports hero.
He played with the Padres for nearly 2 decades, and he was one of the greatest hitters in all of baseball. And the interesting thing that, you know, San Diego and Seattle that ties them together is Tony's younger brother, Chris, has been a member of the Mariners front office for many years as the director of player development.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, Tony, again, you know, was just a great player. He was a great father. And of course, yeah, you're mentioning his son, Tony Gwynn, being in the Mariners organization. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, there are lots of remembrances for the Mariners, you know, as far as the type of player that Tony Gwynn, the father, was. And so, you know, Tony Gwynn Sr., of course, you know, being the head coach at San Diego State, giving a lot of his time, a lot of his efforts, you know, to this great game of baseball. And again, we're missing a superhero, definitely, in Tony Gwynn.
Let's turn now to bigger, better, and happier notes and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight, and that is Monty Buckley, former Cal Golden Bear basketball player as well as professional player all around the globe. Monty, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, Monty, thanks for being on the Double, man. And, you know, we'll get right to it. You know, you had a very, very good basketball career. I'd say a great one, especially in college. You know, being a Cal Bear and getting the chance to play with Lamon Murray and Jason Kidd. But if there was ever a big three that I can call on in the 90s, especially in college basketball, it would have to be that Cal Bears team. You were that third cog as far as the nucleus with the Cal Bears. Kind of give us an idea on what it was like to play with Lamon Murray and Jason Kidd.
Well, I had the opportunity to play with Jason since we were probably like 14 in AAU basketball. So growing up and playing at a high level and being, you know, on that kind of stage with those type of players, being in South Sacramento, it was just pretty much a surreal feeling. It's like, you know, you don't look at, you know, who you're playing against. You've been doing it for so long and playing basketball. It's just at a higher level. But when you look back now, it was fun. And I try to now, you know, nowadays I try to give the young kids and, you know, around the globe and around the country and that same kind of opportunity to be on that kind of stage. And eventually they can get to that kind of level as playing, you know, high level college basketball.
And Yeah, Marty, of course, you mentioning giving back to the kids. That's one of the things that you have done most definitely. And so, you know, right now I believe you're doing some things with Vegas Fundamentals. VegasFundamentals.com. Kind of give our listeners what Vegas Fundamentals is.
Well, it's the same. It's an AAU organization, but we don't really focus so much on basketball, which it is a key component. The kids that's in that part of the program have been together since they were 9 years old, and now they're 15, so they're starting to really turn the corner and see what's ahead of them. And, you know, they have 3 years to try to obtain a basketball scholarship. But within this program, we really do community service. We have a cause where we give back to, you know, fight diabetes and childhood obesity. Also with the CTC and concussions that's going on with a lot of kids in football. Obviously you see what's going on in the pros. So we try to help, you know, various organizations. We do free clinics. We feed the homeless during Thanksgiving. It's sort of the things that, you know, we take for granted when we, you know, as kids, you know, and we just look at basketball, but we try to look at it as, you know, saying as a whole basketball life. School, you know, to be a part of our program, you have to have a 2.8 GPA. So, you know, it's a total whole, not just the athletic side of it.
Monty, what brought you to that conclusion is the fact that you wanted to go to that basketball entire life, not just life on the court.
Well, I grew up with a single mother. She practically raised my sister and I, and we didn't grow up in the greatest of neighborhoods. And I ended up going to Christian Brothers and doing, you know, ended up going to Cal Berkeley. So I didn't have anyone, you know, didn't have a father in my life. So a lot of coaches that I dealt with, and, you know, a few, they took on that father figure, and it was always preaching education, giving back. You're not going to play forever. And that was part of the component of why I picked Cal Berkeley, because it was the number one public institution in the nation. So a lot of what I do and what I've been done and what I'm trying to do is based on what I've been through, you know, in my life, and try to make it easier for kids and to be that knowledge and that someone they can lean on, call on, and if they have any questions, to, like, this is how it really goes, not sugarcoat it. And really try to get them to the highest levels possible. Everybody's not going to be a pro. Everyone's not going to be Division One, but there's Division Two. There's all other various opportunities that you can take as far as, you know, in this basketball circle. And I just try to use it as a tool to help the kids, you know, get a free education.
What sort of reception are you getting, not only from the student athletes, but the parents as well?
Well, and that's the thing. The parents see, you know, what kind of program it is, and, you know, we just don't roll out the balls. And what makes it unique about it is the different things that we do. So the parents love it, and we become almost like a backup for them, and we reinforce, you know, what the parents try to tell the kids also, you know, as far as school and chores and things you have to work hard, just on the court, but off the court, and, you know, be safe in various things that's going on in this world today. So by us being not just basketball oriented and trying to win tournaments and do this and that, and we really focus on trying to make it a whole component of life, basketball, school, hard work, giving back, that really, you know, draws the parents in, and they buy into what we're doing.
Monty Buckley, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Monty, what a lot of people, what some of our listeners don't know is that this is who you are. This is the way you have been, you know, always giving back to the community, always doing something for, you know, the city of Sacramento. Of course, you started or helped start NorCal Elite. And there's just a great group of individuals that you worked with. And a couple of the people I'm very familiar with, and Damon Edwards, you know, he's said one of Sac State's finest as far as playing basketball is concerned. And, you know, I just talked with James Charles yesterday, and, you know, you had this nucleus of people. And so this isn't new to you. And so is that something that was bred into you, you know, in childhood? Or is this just something that you said, I just want to, you know, be able to go out there and change things from an experience later on in life?
Well, I think as I got older, I mean, I always, you know, I think even coming back to being on the floor, I did whatever had to be done. I just wanted to be a part of being on the floor rather, you know, so I, you know, in this, and you, like I said, you can't play forever. And I've had all these friends that are in high places, college, professional, overseas, and, you know, I have all these resources. And I told myself it does no good for me to have all these resources and I can't help them. So, you know, it's almost like hand in hand. If I can help some kids and human beings and guys, girls, whatever it may be, now I'm also helping my resources that I have obtain some kind of, you know, player and a great person that they're looking for. So it's almost like I'm in the middle. And I can't say it was just a calling. I think the whole thing started, my mom had came down with breast cancer maybe 2000, maybe 5 or 4. And I was just home for a stint, and it came down to me really deciding, like, man, do I want to get a call and I'm somewhere, you know, that my mom is not around anymore, or do I decide to stay here and help her through her tough times like she always helped me through my times? And it just so happened, and, you know, a friend of mine, Gus Armstead, who was like one of the father figures to me in Sacramento that I trained with and always leaned on for knowledge, and I went to him, and he was just like, you know, do what's best that you feel is best, and I pretty much just stopped playing, and I got involved with kids, and ever since then, that's the way it's been going. And I just try to, you know, give back. And I think that whole situation with my mother, which she's still alive, but just being able to do that. And now I was like, man, what can I do to, you know, help kids? And I got into kids. And ever since then, that's just what I've been doing.
Yeah, that, you know, that's definitely, you know, great, you know, that you have, you know, you have mom to actually bring you up and give you that guidance and want to give back. And you also mentioned, you know, some of the other trainers in the area. You mentioned Gus Armstead, who was a guest here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, so how often do you share those ideas, you know, amongst each other? I mean, you know, there's great people, as you had mentioned, with Gus, also with Sam Long. He does some great things with the kids as well. How often do you guys share ideas as far as helping develop today's youth?
I don't know if it's so much share. I mean, I think when we get together, it's not even restricted. It's not even about basketball. It's pretty much how, you know, how's everyone's family doing and to that nature in the relationship. I think, you know, like you said, the guys that you mentioned, from DeMond Edwards to Sam to Gus to, you know, so many, Danielle Biglione to, This when I was growing up, it was just Gus, and we're all pretty much a branch of Gus. You know, everything that I've learned and done, you know, I've learned from him. So, you know, he's a God-fearing man, and he's into the church, and, you know, it all comes pretty much, it's almost like how Popovich has his tree of coaches. Gus has an arm, you know, of trainers that he, you know, guys that he's trained since forever, how long that's went off, and they pretty much do the same thing that he does, just in a different area or different clientele.
And yeah, you had mentioned, you know these guys, and of course my son, you know, playing college ball at Chaminade University. Now that he's back, one of the things that he does is he trains with Gus Armstead and the SBDL. And so, you know, it's very exciting, and it's great to know that in this area, in the Sacramento area, that, you know, we have such great individuals such as yourselves that you're saying are God-fearing, that reach out and stand in the gap and do what, you know, what's right for today's youth. And again, I definitely applaud you for that. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I get to, like I said, I've been through it. I understand, and it's a struggle. And like I tell everybody, if I can be raised in South Sacramento, from Meadowview to Oak Park to the North Area to G Parkway to, you know, and by a single mom and to go to Christian Brothers and to make it out and get a free education to a Cal, like, without pretty much any help, that if you have some help and you know the proper steps, that, you know, my main goal is to go further and beyond of what I did. So it's definitely just a joy to see a kid or kids that, you know, people give up on, or they look at them and they don't know that, you know, they look at a kid and they're like, oh, he's no good or this and that. I'm like, well, the kid's only 12, you know, what were you doing at 12 years old? You know, it's always a growth process that goes on with these kids and the development. And it's the whole thing is just letting them know that somebody's in their corner and that you believe in them, and confidence, and that goes a long way.
That's the voice of Monty Buckley, former Cal Bear basketball player and professional basketball player all over the globe. And Monty, you mentioned that Gus Armstead was one of the guys that did help train you and mentor you along the way. Was there anybody else in your playing career that whether it be coaches, maybe a veteran player that helped you out and kind of helped show you the ropes?
Being, like I said, in Sacramento, and being around Gus and the guys, I mean, I can remember it was, you had Mitch Richmond, and another guy was Henry Turner, you know, Dale Demps. It was mainly just the guys that were in the gym that, you know, that were already doing certain things that I wanted to try to do. So I would just pick their brain and ask them, well, what about this and how do I do this and the training regimen and what it really takes to become a professional athlete. And then just, you know, and you look at those guys now, you know, how successful Dale is, and look at Henry and Mitch Richmond and, like I say, Gus. And it was guys like that, you know, that really helped me on the floor.
Now, Monty, back to your playing days, what did you learn from going overseas about life and about basketball on the world's eye?
Well, I think with going overseas, it was really an eye-opener. The first time I went overseas, it was really, you know, most of the time when you go overseas, you know you're going home in a week or so. You go to vacation, you go, you know, and, you know, when I got over there, it's like, okay, you're going to be here for 7-8 months. You know, this is home, and you don't have any friends, and now you're a foreigner and understanding the language. So it takes a real strong-minded individual. Not only, you know what I'm saying, basketball wise, but just individual wise and mentally to grasp what you're doing and what's at hand and to try to, you know what I'm saying, stay focused on it. But what I learned from going overseas is, they work a lot harder than we do in the States, and practice and being in the gym is really no days off. And, you know, even if you play 2 days a week, then you're going to practice five. And sometimes it might be two times in that day, and it's no, There's no questions asked. There's no squabbling about it. You know, whatever is, you know, supposed to be done is done. And I just think over there, their work ethic starts at a younger age. And as we can tell now, I mean, for, you know, guys that's coming from different countries to play in the NBA are you know, saying it's a lot, the number increases year by year.
Monty Buckley on the double. And Monty, yeah, you're hitting some points. Those were going to be my next questions is, you know, how has the game changed? How has the game changed from when, you know, you played a few years back to now, as far, you know, especially in the NBA? We're talking about international players. The San Antonio Spurs just won the NBA title. You're talking about the work ethic of the international player. It's taken quite some time, it sounds like, for that to evolve into the great game that we're seeing now in the NBA.
Well, I think what we do have over in the United States is, you know, we're going to be quicker, we're going to be faster, we're going to be more athletic, and when you have that component, you know, it's always easy to fall back on. But it's not to say that they're not as athletic you know, explosive and quicker, but they've been working from a younger age to do what they love to do, and they really are fundamentally sound, and they're not going to, like I say, run as high and jump as fast, but they're going to understand how to play the game at a different level, even when it comes to a younger age. So I think that what is happening is, while the youth over here is so worried about mixtape and who's on YouTube and dribbling 50 million ways in one spot, you know, and look at me, I made this move, but I can't shoot past the free throw line. It's damaging the game. And while you have the kids over in overseas that's working in academies and really getting fundamentally sound and honing in their skill and their games at a young age of 13, 14, that's actually get to play professionally, that is gonna catch up. You know, at some point in time, you know, hard work is going to outdo, you know, hard work is going to outdo talent. And that's what we're, you know, coming to. I remember the Kings at one point had Vlade and Peja and some other guys. And at that time, you can really see that the game was starting to turn. And now, you know what I'm saying, as we are in this day and age now, like there it's for real, and you know, more teams are going over there that, you know, that these guys are coming at you. Who's this guy? And it, but they've been over here, you know, working at a younger age, and they'll be over here, they'll be able to come over here and compete at a high level.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, Monty, or, you know, wouldn't you say that, you know, professional sports, of course, is a copycat profession. And, you know, for the longest, there hasn't been a blueprint to actually show fundamental basketball like we saw with the San Antonio Spurs. Do you see that here in the near future that that's definitely going to change? Because for now, the San Antonio Spurs have won the NBA title. This will definitely, we'll probably see this for years to come as far as fundamental basketball, which is going to allow these kids to actually learn basketball the way it's supposed to be played.
Well, I say if you want to win, then you're going to play that style of basketball, you know. And I tell people, you know, you had the Big Three, but you know, San Antonio had the Big Ten or the Big 12. So at any sport or any number, 10, 12 is going to outnumber three. So I think we're going to have to get back to the basics, roll up our sleeves. And I think it also starts with the college game. As you know, we you know, if the age does change, I know back in our day it was unheard of. You know, man, I wasn't ready, and nobody's ready to leave school early and go into that league. And now it's almost like the kids are being pushed into that situation. And yeah, we see the good stories of it happens, but if you really do your research and you look back, because there's been a lot of horror stories of that, and you have a kid that leaves school early that doesn't make it and still had a chance to be at least a student athlete for three more years. So I think it starts with AAU and leading into college. And I think if we, you know, that's why guys are able to play in the NBA longer, the Tim Duncans and the Ginobili, and these guys are able to sustain and play in the NBA because they know how to play. And it takes a while to really learn that game. So how can you teach a kid the pro game, when he never learned really a high school game and he only had 1 year of college? So now it's like, when does the teaching start?
Great words of wisdom by former Cal Bear basketball player Monty Buckley. Monty, you're doing great things. Keep up the good work. Thanks for your time tonight. And everybody out there, go visit VegasFundamentals.com and check out the good work that Monty is doing.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
There goes Monty Buckley. Great insight. And it's awesome, Sean, how they're teaching the kids not just the ball out on the hardwood, but they're teaching them between the ears and read the books and do things right.
Man, I just love the approach that Monty, you know, takes as far as the fundamentals are concerned. And, you know, we've talked about some of the people who he's learned from, some of the people that he associates with. You know, these guys are taking their time out as far as helping these young individuals, both boys and girls, become better, not just better athletes, but better people in society. And, you know, this is done at the club level. And what I mean by that is by AAU and, you know, some of the other clubs. And I'm fortunate for the fact that they're able to do that for the kids, because I believe that they have raised the curve for, you know, high schools and schools alone, and they're doing, you know, the high school's job. But, you know, continued success to them. And, you know, I can't say enough about the great things that, you know, organizations like Monty's is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely raising the bar, and it's showing everybody that it can work the way that they're doing it, that you can teach kids to be on the straight and narrow and go for those good grades while still being a good athlete.
Yeah, you know, this goes all the way back to, you know, you talk about the, you know, the Duke Blue Devils and that Coach K fundamental type of basketball. And, you know, it's frowned upon most of the time. But when you get great enough athletes together and they are disciplined and doing the right things, like we saw in San Antonio this past week, I mean, boy, great things can happen. And that hard work beats talent every time. I love that when Monty said that hard work beats talent. So great, great talk with Monty. And man, you know, again, continued success. So coming back from the break, we'll be talking with guest number two, and that is Paul Sunderland. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show 57, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Big time guest number one was Monty Buckley, a great basketball teacher, coach, mentor, VegasFundamentals.com.
Yeah, man, I really like talking to, you know, to Monty, you know, because for one, you know, as I'd mentioned before, that, you know, his giving back to the community, giving back to the youngsters as far as developing them as a person, as a people for today's society. You know, we could have talked on and on and on with Monty. You know, some of the things I wanted to know was his decision to actually be a leader. I know he talked a little bit about it, you know, with his mom being his foundation, his background. But Sean, you had touched on some things with Monty, as, you know, as far as him playing over in Europe. Of course, he was drafted by the Golden State Warriors and, you know, had a brief stint in Oakland and then in Portland. But, you know, the travel overseas and then, you know, a little bit with the CBA. I wanted to know what the influence with Isaiah Thomas brought at the time being with the CBA. He played in your neck of the woods, Sean, you know, with Yakima over there at the Sun Dome.
The mini kingdom of the East. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, with his... Yeah, it just seems like, you know, with everything that he's learned over the years, that just seemed to be a compilation of, you know, what gave him the drive to do what he's done. And of course, you know, a great college basketball career, playing with some great individuals. And, you know, it was a great, great interview with Monty Buckley.
Well, it's just awesome that he's putting what he has learned through his life to good use and teaching and helping. And so, yeah, it was definitely a good interview with Monty. And our big-time guest number two is going to be play-by-play extraordinaire Paul Sunderland, longtime Laker announcer, now with the Pac-12 Network. And Paul will be on the show right before 8 o'clock, so we'll wrap up the show with Paul Sunderland. And it's been a good day in the sports world if you're a USA soccer fan, as Clint Dempsey, the Seattle Sounder with the Team USA over in Brazil for the World Cup, scored in a mere 32 seconds, which is the sixth fastest goal in World Cup history. And he becomes the first USA player to score in three separate World Cups as the USA wins 2-1 against Ghana. And the interesting thing about Ghana is Ghana put the U.S. out of the previous two World Cups. So,
Yeah, you know, it almost seemed like a setup that, you know, the U.S. would play Ghana. And, of course, you mentioned Dempsey with, you know, that early goal. It seemed like it was quicker than that. It seemed like 9 seconds, you know, just right out from the opening kick that USA came down and Dempsey kicked that, you know, kicked the first goal. And, of course, Brooks with the second goal of the contest at about the 88th minute. And so, you know, you talk about too close for comfort. You know, one of the things, Sean, about the match, I had the chance to watch it, and I couldn't help but feel like the USA was playing not to lose. And so after they had the 1-0 lead, they had that going into half, and they were coming back the second half. And, you know, it just seemed like they were, you know, stalling, if you will, kind of playing a four corners, trying to, you know, wear out Ghana. But, you know, Ghana's team is relentless. They kept coming back. They kept coming back. And, you know, they scored a goal, you know, on the 83rd minute. And it just seemed like, oh, my God, you know, what in the world is going to happen here? Are we going to lose it? But the U.S. showed some savvy, Sean Wally. You know, no longer than 2 minutes later, you know, Brooks goes and kicks the, you know, the winning goal. But it was too close for comfort for me, man. But it's great. It's great for the world of international football, if you will.
And that second goal was off of a corner kick, which you don't always see too often. So a nice bit of trickery at the right time for Team USA.
Man, I'm exhausted. You know, I waited 4 days for this G group to get things, you know, kicked off. And, you know, we watched Mexico in the beginning, you know, take care of business. You know, and they were robbed of their two goals, I believe. And, you know, we watched a couple of upsets. And then, you know, today comes around at the beginning of the group, and Germany just smashes Portugal, you know, 4-0. And I'm like, man, I'm waiting on pins and needles. And so, you know, this was a great victory for the United States, you know, still trying to make our mark in World Cup soccer. And, you know, we're on our way, man. I think that was a good start.
And it's not been without early drama before the World Cup even began. You've got soccer great Landon Donovan left off the team, and then head coach Jurgen Klinsmann saying that there's no way his team can win at all.
Yeah, you know, when you leave, yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron. So you leave Landon Donovan off the team, and you come to the realization, I believe, that, hey, we don't really have the cohesion that we have with some of our former players, and we're going to have to try to build that as we go. You know, kind of a tough way to put your team into, you know, into this hostile environment. You know, also, Sean, you know, there's talks over in Brazil that, you know, the stadium wasn't done, and, you know, certain grounds weren't up to par. And so you put all these things together, it kind of makes it, you know, pretty hectic for a team, especially after you're watching teams play the first 2 days, and then here's your chance to shine. And you know, I guess, you know, the victory gets all the cobwebs and gets all of the, you know, the butterflies out.
Yeah, let's hope so. You know, what do they have to lose moving forward? They should just be guns blazing and see if they can run the score up. That'd be amazing.
You know, it just seems like that, you know, America has really rallied. It doesn't matter where you are. Somebody's watching the World Cup, you know, whether it's, you know, at a local sports bar or a restaurant or, you know, where have you. You know, it just seems like, you know, U.S. and world, you know, international people alike are all locking arms to watch, you know, soccer. And it makes it great for the sport.
Now, Sean, there was a championship crowned in the National Basketball Association, and it wasn't the team, my co-host, his name on the tip of my tongue. You know, if I was smarter, I might have had some audio ready from last week and maybe the week prior that I think somebody was saying Miami wasn't going to be beat, but lo and behold, the San Antonio Spurs got it done.
Yeah, you know, and hats off to the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, I picked the Miami Heat to win the NBA title. And, you know, again, the San Antonio Spurs, as we had talked about earlier, played lights out sound basketball, the way basketball is supposed to be played. And, you know, sometimes you get caught up in all of the hype. You know, we as media build up a lot of hype. You know, there's this, you know, me against the world hype, and I think that I fell into that, you know, because, you know, I feel bad for LeBron James. And here's the reason why, Sean. I'm glad that we're talking about this. I feel bad for LeBron James because, for one, I feel that he gets a ridiculous rap for the type of person that people try to portray him. And, you know, there's a, you know, when you talk about LeBron James in some circles, they'll say, hey, he's, you know, he's one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player. He's the best player in the world today. No doubt about it. But there, you know, you get into these other circles and there's a built up hatred. And I know that that's a part of being a fan, because fans, that's what fans do. I kind of want to throw it out there, because, you know, there's always this talk about Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. And, you know, if you really think about the three, only two of them are similar, and that's Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. But LeBron James, he's a different player altogether. And I think that he gets a bum rap from a lot of the haters out there. And so I think I jumped on and I just said, hey, you know what? Why are we hating on LeBron James? Why do we hate on the Miami Heat? For one, if you're talking about a leader in the NBA, why not have somebody that keeps his nose clean? Why not have somebody that doesn't have, you know, that doesn't wind up with a DUI, or doesn't wind up beating on his spouse, or doesn't wind up doing all of these crazy things that you hear a lot of the athletes? You would think that, you know, LeBron James would be that type of person that you'd put first and foremost. And so, you know, I rallied behind that. That's the reason why I picked the Miami Heat. I just thought, man, this guy gets a bum rap. But I'm not taking anything away from what the San Antonio Spurs did, because they played lights out basketball. They played team basketball. They played fundamental basketball. And, you know, while we're talking on this, Sean, why don't the naysayers, you know, because a lot of it comes from a certain organization down in Los Angeles, and I won't name any names it down in Los Angeles with that team, but their colors are blue and purple, but they have a lot of hatred towards LeBron James. Why not that hatred going towards Tim Duncan? That's a huge question. Why? Because Tim Duncan has 5 championships. The whole thing is that when you compare Kobe Bryant to LeBron James, he doesn't have enough championships. That seems to be it. He's called the greatest player. But why not the dislike for Tim Duncan, who has 5 NBA titles, exactly the same as Kobe Bryant? So you would think that, you know, a lot of the LA fans would say, hey, we want the Miami Heat. But with all of that being said, again, San Antonio Spurs, lights out basketball, team basketball all around. Kawhi Leonard, what an amazing game. Actually, not game, 3 games that Kawhi Leonard put on, you know, to win the title. I mean, this was just crazy how he came out, and it just seemed like he could not miss the MVP of the NBA Finals.
So do you think that was the right call for MVP? Because I did hear a lot of Tony Parker should have been the MVP out there as well.
Yeah, so why not the whole team? You know, I know that you have to pick one player, but why not the whole team? I mean, because they did. The team played awesome. Tim Duncan played his role right. Boris Diaw, you know, what a joy to watch somebody who can actually distribute the basketball at a power forward position. You know, you mentioned Tony Parker, but Kawhi Leonard seemed to be the spark. He seemed to be that neutralizer against LeBron James, even though LeBron had, you know, put up his points. But Kawhi Leonard seemed to be the elixir that ailed for the San Antonio Spurs. He just kept coming as far as his aggression was concerned. And that, I believe, uplifted the San Antonio Spurs to this world championship.
Where does Greg Popovich, the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, now rank among all-time head coaches in the NBA?
Man, he has to rank right up there with the best of them. Why not? I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, a player in Tim Duncan who has, you know, been to the NBA Finals on numerous occasions. They have 5 NBA titles, and it's not like it's you know, a flash in the pan. The San Antonio Spurs have been consistent for a while. So this brand of basketball, as I had mentioned before, you know, was waiting to be crowned. And so, you know, everybody had respected Popovich for what he's done. But to actually come to this point and to have the big bad Miami Heat come in with their big three, and that was it. you know, it was on the grand stage for the San Antonio Spurs to say that team basketball outplays Flash any day. And it did. It did just that. The San Antonio Spurs did just that. Can't leave out Manu Ginobili and the excellent play that he did. Of course, Northern California stand up and be recognized. Patty Mills from St. Mary's in the Bay, you know, did an awesome job. I mean, we barely played the year prior. Now, you know, coming out this year, had a spectacular game, 17 points. It was just a joy to watch the San Antonio Spurs do what they did.
And that also goes to, in a way, to what our first guest tonight, Monty Buckley, was saying, that talent overrides, I'm sorry, hard work overrides talent. And you could argue that the Miami Heat were the more talented team top to bottom, but it was the better team top to bottom that won the NBA championship.
Yeah, the better team, the better system. You know, this goes back to, you know, when you're young, listening to your coaches. You know, a lot of the times, you know, we praise praise the talented people so much that as a coach, you put yourself on autopilot. But when you actually have a system, and this is for all the coaches out there, if you actually have a system put in place, you can teach a kid anything and they will believe in your system. But here's where you get exposed as a coach. When you have that talented athlete and you disguise it with a lot of isolation plays, and then you throw maybe one play in there and you call yourself great, those are the things that expose you as a head coach. So it's not just the players understanding the team aspect, it's coaches actually knowing how to coach that style of play. And you know, Popovich is definitely right up there, one of the best coaches to ever coach the, you know, this great game of basketball.
I know it's only the middle of June, but the NFL keeps getting closer and closer. And this week, mandatory minicamps begin for a majority of the teams, including up here in the Pacific Northwest, the world champion Seattle Seahawks. And don't know if you believe what's out there in the media, but there may be no beast mode in Seattle this week at minicamp.
Yeah, you know, these top-tier teams, you know, you're talking about the Seattle Seahawks and beast mode, Marshawn Lynch wanting to get paid. And, you know, it's understandable. You know, you see some of your teammates getting, you know, getting cashed out, and you want to be a part of that. You know, but it's, you know, it seems to be the beast, if you will, in this day and age of the athlete, you know. And, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, these guys wanting to play together as a team, what's the very first thing that we talk about as soon as, you know, a champion is crowned? I know with Seattle, as soon as a champion was crowned, we were talking about, you know, Russell Wilson, what are we going to do, you know, with his contract? Is he going to re-sign and is he going to restructure? You know, what was going to happen, you know, with Golden Tate? What was going to happen with Marshawn Lynch? You know, they couldn't celebrate the championship long enough because those types of things are happening. And so, and that's not just, you know, something that happens with Super Bowl, the Super Bowl champion. That's happening here in Northern California as well with the San Francisco 49ers. Vernon Davis, all of a sudden, you know, has come up and he's saying, man, if we don't get a contract here soon, and something that's lucrative, you can count me out of minicamp. And, you know, it's going to be a long, you know, a long holdout if he doesn't get what he wants.
And he wrote exactly that today, filling in for the vacationing Peter King on mmqb.si.com, the Monday morning quarterback. And he basically said, you know, when I signed my deal, I was playing at this level. And now I'm playing at the highest level. A tight end is playing in the league, and yet I'm not paid there. And he's using phrases and terms, and presumably Marshawn Lynch is as well, saying things like, I want to take care of my family. You know, I need to make my money now while I can, things of that nature. And it might work out for both of them. It might not. It might backfire. Who knows if the teams are going to cave and bring in this truckload of money for either Lynch or Davis.
So let me ask you this, Sean, because this is a, you know, a great subject, a great topic to talk about. Are these two individuals wrong for what they're doing?
I think partly they are because, number one, who signed their contracts?
Right.
They did.
Right.
And especially, you know, neither of them were that long ago. I know Lynch was in 2012. And here in Lynch's case, he's paid top five at his position. And that's not enough.
Now, you know, they do have the option, and I understand where you're coming from. They do have that option to talk about their salaries, which is what each of them are doing. You know, now you had just mentioned a valid point that, you know, these guys, you know, want to take care of their families. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, the salary, you know, that what Vernon Davis had, you know, as far as his initial salary. I know Marshawn Lynch, he only had a decent salary coming in to Seattle. You know, I know that, you know, Seattle paid him, you know, pretty good to, you know, when they acquired him. I just feel like, you know, the amount of punishment that these guys, you know, are given day in and day out in this gladiator sport, you know, they're guaranteed a, you know, a cash out. And I'm not sure that either one of them have gotten their, you know, their big purse yet, if you will. And so, you know, I understand where they're coming from, and I understand where you're coming from as far as, hey, honor your contract. You know, don't go through this opt of trying to ask for more money. But it can be discerning. And I'm thinking of, you know, as an athlete right now, it could be a little discerning when you're seeing some of your teammates around you, you know, grabbing these big purses and getting cashed out when, you know, you're looking ahead to this next season. You're like, man, it wasn't easy this past season. You know, I need to get it now because, you know, in a couple of years, you know, I might not have what's left. And, you know, it's almost paying me for what I've done already for you. And so, you know, I do. I understand where Vernon is coming from, and I understand where Marshawn is coming from. I guess the bad part is when it gets out into the media and the words that have come out, you know, it's almost like, you know, watching a couple fight, you know. And so, you know, I hope that each of these guys gets it worked out because they're, you know, added assets for their teams. And, you know, I love watching Vernon Davis and Marshawn Lynch play. And so I hope they get it together.
In that article that Vernon wrote, he said that the NFC Championship game that you and I were working for Fox Sports and witnessed in Seattle this past January, the Niners against the Seahawks, he said that was the best football game he's ever been a part of. He agrees with Richard Sherman that was the true Super Bowl. And he said they had the utmost confidence on that final drive that they were going to go in and win the game. And it just didn't happen. And he said that the best quarterback in the league, and he slyly did this, he said the best quarterback in the league not throwing me passes is Russell Wilson. So he gave a little nod to his own quarterback in Kaepernick and then said that Russell's got all the tools. He said for history and longevity, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. But right now, if I'm building a team right now and it's not the guy throwing passes to me, give me Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you know, I love the, you know, the psychological approach that Vernon is playing there. You know, he gives praise to, you know, the team that beat him, you know, and the quarterback that beat him in his division. But also, you know, psychologically kind of lighten that fire under his quarterback to actually, you know, come up and, you know, have a better season than he had this past year. And so I get all of that. I understand that. And, you know, I think that's great posture. Awesome posture by Vernon Davis.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys,
Are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Had a little bit of technical difficulties. We apologize for that. That is the beauty of radio sometimes. And our big tech guru, Don Newsome, thanks for getting us back up and running. Guest number one, Sean Wally, Monty Buckley on the Double, man. It was an awesome first guest.
Yeah, absolutely. Monty's done great things in his life playing basketball, but also being great scholastically and doing things the right way. And now he's teaching kids that, and you can check everything out they're doing at VegasFundamentals.com.
And where we left off before, we had some technical difficulty. You know, we're talking about the change of the game, for football. And we're talking about, some of the things that, that go on in the offseason. And sometimes it's collective bargaining driven, and so hopefully we're talking about a couple players and Vernon Davis and Marshawn Lynch. Hopefully these guys can get things right, get themselves back into camp, because we don't want any caveats going on at the end of the season for either team when they're preparing to get themselves and make the Super Bowl run.
Yeah, it's going to be a great battle again in the NFC West, and the division's just getting tighter with the other two teams, Cardinals and Rams, getting better as well.
Definitely, most definitely.
Let's head on out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and bring in big-time guest number two tonight, and that is play-by-play extraordinaire Paul Sunderland. Paul, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Oh, good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Paul, thanks for being patient there. We were having some technical difficulties. You know how that is, being a broadcaster. Sometimes you just have to go with it, ad-lib, and keep things rolling.
No matter what happens, you got to make it sound and pretty good. I'm with you. Strange things happen.
Oh man! Well, let's talk about some of those strange things. You started out, as a, playing volleyball, which isn't strange, but how it parlayed into broadcasting. Kind of give our listeners an idea on how that went about.
Well, I've been very fortunate, and timing is important. And I played volleyball on the U.S. national team for 10 years and concluded my career when my teammates and I won the Olympic gold medal in 1984. And about that time, ESPN was really growing a great deal. It sounds like 100 years ago, and it feels like it sometimes. And also, all of the regional sports networks that are either Fox or Root up in your area or wherever they may be, we're all sort of looking for programming. And so I got an opportunity. The phone rang, and at first I started covering, my own sport. And I was doing some coverage of collegiate indoor volleyball and the beach volleyball tour in those days with, St. John Smith and Randy Stoklos and Tim Hovland and Karch Kirai and all of those legendary names. It was really taking off, and ESPN was covering it pretty extensively. So I was able to get some television experience early. But what really helped me was that I also played basketball in college. And another one of those phone calls I got a phone call from one of these executive producers, and he said, "Hey, Paul, you know, you played college basketball, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You want to do some games?" And I said, "Yeah, you bet." And so the first year I was ever working in television, I did about 30 basketball games. And it was, you know, UCLA, USC, San Diego State, Long Beach State, you know, a lot of really high-quality college basketball games. And I only bring that up because, you know, if you're breaking into your career, if you will, you know, as the volleyball guy, you know, that's sort of got a pretty low ceiling. But if you also break in at the same time being a basketball guy, then the ceiling is, you know, that's 100 stories. You know, I just got back from Chicago. I saw the new Trump Tower. You know, that's about 100 stories. So I was very lucky, and I guess I did a pretty good job because ESPN came calling, and I did Big Monday for about 3 years. And then Fox wanted me back, and so I signed a long-term deal with Fox. And then, you know, I've just been really fortunate. I've done every Olympics since 1992 and done the NBA Finals, and just been really fortunate. Did the Lakers as their play-by-play announcer for 5 years, and done a bunch of stuff for the Pac-12 Network over the last year, a whole variety of sports. That's kind of been, you know, I've had a couple of anchors, if you will, and primarily it's been basketball and primarily the NBA. But I've had an opportunity, for whatever reason, to really do a wide, wide range of sports. I've done World Cup skiing, I've done snowboarding, I've done figure skating, I've done ice hockey, and of course football, basketball, baseball. Love doing track and field, love track and field. I was in Pullman for these last Pac-12 championships and watched the NCAAs this last weekend in Eugene, so congratulations to the Oregon Duck men for winning that championship. So, I mean, and I've done swimming and diving, and at the Olympics I've done gymnastics and swimming and diving, and so I've had the opportunity, you know, to show that I can be pretty versatile. So, you know, if something falls off, it picks up someplace else. And in this last year, for the second straight year, I did the Boston Marathon, and that was a very meaningful and emotional experience for obvious reasons.
And man, Paul, I mean, you've just mentioned the gamut of sports that you have called, and of course, keeping yourself busy. You'd also use the word fortunate and lucky a time or two. There was a point in your career to where you said, you know, you had just mentioned that you wanted to catapult yourself, make your ceiling higher by calling basketball. No bigger opportunity than in 2002. We're talking about Chick Hearn, the famous Chick Hearn, calling 3,338 consecutive games. Kind of give us an idea on what was going on in your head when you got the call that you would sub in for Chick for about 17 games.
Yeah, it was 56 actually, but matters not. It was interesting. I'll give you the story. It's kind of an interesting story. I was at home, and I was preparing for an NBC show that I had the next day. And the phone rang, and it was a dear old friend of mine named John Black, who is the longtime PR director with the Lakers. And he said, you know, I said, hi. At the time, I had been doing the NBA on NBC, and I was also hosting the Laker pregame show for the Fox sports affiliate in Los Angeles. So it wouldn't be that unusual that he would call me. So I said, hey, John, what's up? And he said, have you been watching the news? And I said, no, I got my eyeballs up to research materials and no, what? He said, well, Chick is ill, and, you know, he's quite ill, and he's in the hospital, and we need you to do a game tomorrow in Houston. Can you do that? And I had a NBC show that I had to do, so it all of a sudden became very complicated. Anyway, we worked it out, and I was able to, it was a voiceover, so it was a posted show, so I was able to voice it over from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6. I jumped on a flight to Houston, flew to Houston, did the game that night, and then, you know, it was kind of open-ended because nobody knew how ill Chick was. And so it went from being, you know, 17 games to being 30 to being 56. And then, you know, thankfully, Chick was able to come back at the end of that season. The Lakers won the championship that year. And then, tragically, Chick passed away. You know, I'm a kid who's grown up in Los Angeles, so I've been raised with Vin Scully, Chick Hearn, and Bob Miller on hockey. Bob's a pretty happy guy right now, given the Kings winning the second cup in the last 3 years. But anyway, Chick passed away the subsequent summer, and then Jeannie Buss and the Laker front office decided that I'd be the right choice to be the second ever announcer for the Los Angeles Lakers, because Chick was the announcer for the Lakers when they moved here in 1960. And then so I worked for the Lakers for 5 years, and championships and good times, and we eventually went our separate ways in 2006. And then, you know, went back to doing college basketball and doing a whole wide, doing a whole wide variety of different sports. I might do a major championship of, you know, a worldwide major sport in 7 or 8 different sports, you know, from college football to college basketball, international volleyball, like I said, figure skating, track and field, swimming. Was fortunate. I got a call from Universal Sports and did a meet in Mesa, Arizona a couple of weeks ago. Well, maybe even a little more than that now when Michael Phelps made his return. And so, you know, I like I said, I've been very fortunate. My timing was good. There were lots of opportunities. And I guess I just didn't screw it up, you know, because it's a pretty straightforward business, as you know. When the light goes on, you know, you can either do the job, you can either walk the walk, or you get exposed, and, you know, people kept asking me back.
The legendary voice of sportscaster Paul Sunderland. Paul, thinking back to when you were playing volleyball, then you started being, I'm assuming, an analyst of
Yes.
volleyball events. When you were starting your transition to broadcasting,
Yes.
were there some people that helped you along the way and guided you in the right direction to keep you focused and moving up the proverbial ladder?
You know, it's interesting. I've thought about that some, because I've tried to do it differently. I had a chance to work with one of my teammates, and we kind of became the sort of the voices of beach volleyball, Chris Marlowe, who's now the play-by-play announcer for the Denver Nuggets. And when I got started, he had already been working in TV for a while, and I just sort of, you know, watched Chris and followed Chris, and I learned a lot from him, because he had a couple of years' experience, and I had none. But what's interesting about the TV business sometimes is, like yours and like any other business, it's really competitive, and the next guy up is a threat. He's not an ally. And so no, not too many people gave me, you know, they basically said, you know, when the red light goes on, talk. And it was pretty much a learn on your own sort of situation. But I've taken a different approach. I've tried to work with young men and women. Anybody who asks for my help, I try to offer it. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm much closer to the end of my career than the beginning, and I'm really comfortable with what my skills and my talents and my limitations are. So I think I try to be pretty generous with helping people who are new in the business. And I've had that opportunity in the Pac-12 Network, because the Pac-12 Network is doing next year 1,000 events. And so I've done volleyball, basketball, baseball, track and field, golf, tennis, just this year for the Pac-12 Network. And some of those broadcasts, I work with incredibly experienced people like Justin Gimelstob in tennis. I think the guy is really good and super bright. And then other times, I'll work with some analysts, even in basketball, who former players, let's say, or a former coach, who are very new to television. I really try to help. That's just, you know, maybe that, you know, maybe it's just to sort of counterbalance the experience that I had early on. So that's something that I really enjoy. I work with a lot of analysts who are fairly new to the business, and I really try to help them.
Well, Paul, I can tell our listeners that firsthand that's exactly how you were when I approached you at the Pac-12 Track and Field Championships in Pullman a couple months back, and you were very gracious and very open to being on the show here and willing to help. So thank you very much for that.
Well, sure. I mean, why not? Why not? I remember when I was doing the Lakers, somehow this small little radio show in a really small town in Alabama, somehow they found me. And they did an NBA segment every week. And they'd call me, and I'd go on that show every week for 5 years. It was great. It was great, you know, and we really had a good time. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, you were very polite and very professional. And, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't have any halo over my head, but I really do make a concerted effort to try to help people who are new to the business, especially if I see a spark in them that they're really trying. You know, I've worked with some former star players who just show up, but they always get exposed. You know, their reputation carries them for a little while, but they always get exposed because they just don't get it. And so, you know, if someone's really trying and they prepare and they listen, I'll help any way I can. And, you know, and I don't have any vested interest, you know. If they take what I say and try to utilize it, fine. If they ignore it, that's fine too, because, you know, in this business you got to have a lot of self-confidence and you have to develop your own style, and I get that too. But if I see a situation, you know, I'm going to try to, like I said, help a young man or woman, you know, move forward in the business.
Paul Sunderland on the Double with the Double S Express. And Paul, you mentioned the confidence level, and that's something that I'm absorbing now as I talk with you, you know, and getting a strong feeling, a strong understanding that this isn't something that you take lightly. And, you know, kind of give us an idea on the keys to being good at many sports. It's not, you're not just good at one, you're good at many. And so, you know, what are some of those keys to being, you know, a great play-by-play broadcaster in general?
First of all, I think being a really good play-by-play broadcaster, you have to have a couple of things that, you know, maybe are God-given. You got to have a good voice. You can't sound bad. You got to have a good voice. And you have to have a good rhythm for the respective sport that you're doing. And you have to be, like me, for example, I can be conversant in hockey, tennis, golf, basketball, football, baseball, and I just have an interest in a multitude of sports, and maybe that comes from having a little bit of a different background. Both of my parents were from Europe. My wife is from Sweden. She's a former athlete. When I was playing volleyball, I traveled all over the world, so I was exposed to a lot of different cultures, a lot of different international sports at the highest possible level. And I think you've got to kind of have a gift for communicating. And, you know, part of it is, like I said, I think a gift and God-given. But then you have to really work at it and develop and gain experience and things like that. But let's take somebody that I really like. I really like Dan Shulman on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I think he's superb. He sounds good. Whether it's baseball or basketball, I mean, he just gets it. Mike Tirico is also one of my favorites, who's very versatile as well. I've seen Mike Tirico do tennis and golf, and obviously he does Monday Night Football, and he does basketball, and he does NBA on the radio. Those are two of my very favorites. Mike Breen is a really close personal friend and one of my favorites as well on ABC ESPN. And their rhythm really suits the sport. Vin Scully's rhythm really suits baseball. Al Michaels' intonation and rhythm really suits football. You know, there's a reason why they've become as good as they are. It's, you know, everybody prepares. Everybody knows. And with the internet now, the casual fan can have as much access to information as we do. So, you know, the advantage we have is that we're at practice on Thursday, We interview the coaches on Friday. We do a football game on Saturday. You know, and then we communicate that kind of proprietary information during the course of the game. But, you know, those are some people I like and I really respect, and I think they're, you know, Marv Albert is an old friend and obviously really, really, really good and, you know, kind of the voice of basketball. But I think you have to have some, just like anything, you know, somebody, you know, may want to play right tackle for the Seattle Seahawks, but if they're 5'7" and weigh 150, it's gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got to have some gifts. You've got to have some gifts. But then, if you don't work really hard and be smart, you know, you've got to study, and not just the information. You know, you've got to. I still do it. You know, after what is it? 2004. I've been doing this 28 years. You know, you've got to record some of your games, and to this day, when I listen back, I go, "Oh God, that was terrible." You know, you just have to keep working at it. And I really enjoy it, and I think when you're really enjoying it and having fun, and it's really, really been a great career. It's much easier, if you will, to do one sport. You know, because when my entire year was dedicated to the NBA, you just studied the NBA 24/7. I mean, you know, you knew every player in the league by sight. You know what I mean? Or the NFL, for that matter. But when you're doing a bunch of different sports, boy, oh boy, you do the World Figure Skating Championships, and you haven't covered figure skating in a year. I go into the man cave for about a day and a half and don't come out. You know, it's a lot of work.
I can imagine. And,
but
you know,
it's fun. It's really a fun challenge.
Yeah. And speaking of, I mean, creativity and imagination definitely play a part in what we do. I know for me growing up, it was being in the backyard, and it was, you know, imitating every super athlete that I could possibly imagine, and my arena was my backyard, and you know, just being well versed in what you're saying, but actually understanding every sport and having that imagination and painting the picture. And I think that's what we have in yourself and some of the greats. And you know, I know Stu Scott, I love listening to him, and Chris Berman as well. And so those guys have great imaginations. You have a great imagination. And I think that that is something that is much needed when you're painting a picture for people who are watching sports.
Well, thank you. And you know, I also get the great pleasure of working with some of the best analysts ever. You know, I've worked with Bill Walton and Doug Collins, Matt Gukas, Snapper Jones on Olympic sports. I work with Rowdy Gaines on swimming, Elfie Schlegel on gymnastics. And so when you have someone who's really, really expert next to you, you know, part of my job is asking the question that you're sitting at home asking, you know, making sure that I'm really listening and making sure that I'm asking the expert sitting next to me the right questions and understanding what my limitations are. You know, if it comes to the NBA or basketball or volleyball or football or base, you know, I mean, I got that covered here to Wednesday. But let's say I'm doing the World Figure Skating Championships, you know, I'm going to know everything. You know, I'm going to be a pro and I'm going to host it, but I'm going to be smart enough to understand what the limitations of my expertise are, and I'm going to avail myself of the true experts sitting next to me. I mean, like when I did the meet when Michael Phelps came back, I mean, Rowdy Gaines is the ultimate expert on swimming. And Michael was kind enough to join us in the booth for 20 minutes. And I just listened to Rowdy ask Michael questions, because Rowdy could certainly ask him more intelligent questions than I could. I asked him some lifestyle questions and what he enjoyed most about the time away and things like that. I work with Otto Bolden, Dwight Stones, Lewis Johnson on track and field. I mean, they're the best. They're the absolute best. So, you know, I have my role, and they have theirs. And since I'm sort of, you know, controlling the information flow, you know, I got to make sure that I bring out the, what they know, because they're the best at what they do. I got to make sure that I utilize them correctly.
Paul Sunderland, we could talk to you for hours with all your stories, your insight, and your guidance. We appreciate your time this evening. Thank you so much, and we hope to do it again soon.
Yeah, glad to do it anytime. Best of luck to you guys. It was a pleasure talking to you. And, yeah, give me a call again. We'll do it again. I wish we had some time to talk about the NBA Finals. It was really compelling, but maybe for another time.
I mean,
I'm sitting in Los Angeles. I'm not sure who has more question marks, the Heat or the Lakers, but that's another half-hour conversation.
It's going to
be interesting.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back on, Paul, because I do. I want to talk about that and get a chance for you to share some more of your great wisdom. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great evening, guys.
All right, you too.
The well-known voice of Paul Sunderland joining us, big-time guest number two on the Double with the Double S Express. All those great broadcasters, Paul Sunderland, Kevin Calabro, and Rich Marotta that we've had on, they just get on that phone, that microphone, if you will, and just go to work.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned Kevin Calabro, you know, and I didn't mention him to Paul, but yeah, KC is one of my all-time favorites as far as listening to play-by-play, the imagination that he brings forth to the game of basketball. There's a zeal, there's a hipness, and then he was also talking about the analyst part. You know, not just talking about the play-by-play person, but the analyst, and you have to have a great analyst. And I can't mention Kevin Calabro without mentioning Marcus Johnson and the awesome job that those two had as far as a tandem were concerned. And Paul mentioning, you know, Otto Bolden and Dwight Stone in track and field, who I had the chance to work with in the U.S. championships. And so, you know, those guys, when they get together, they can definitely complement each other. And Sean Wally, I'm believing in the next couple of years or next year or so, people are going to be talking about Sean Wally and Sean Boyd in that same aspect, man. What do you say?
And who knows? Maybe it all starts in Vegas. Yeah, you know, I mean, as you and I know from our time as the broadcast team for the Tacoma Thunder, the analyst and play-by-play guy have to feed off each other, have to work as a team. That's why they're called the broadcast team. And everything goes smoothly when that happens.
Yeah, just being able to complement each other is huge. Listening is a big key, and that's something that, you know, if you ever aspire to those who are listening, if you ever aspire to do play-by-play or analyst, you have to be a great listener and understand not just what you want to get out, but listening to your broadcast partner and what he or she is trying to portray. And so, it was a treat listening to Paul, you know, talk about some of the great things and some of the things that he's accomplished along the way. He's at a point in his life, Sean, to where he says, hey, I've done a lot of things and all I want to do is help, you know, and man, that's awesome. When you can have somebody like that is willing to help. I almost took it, you know, because he's, Paul's a very modest person. I almost took it as, you know, him carrying, you know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, there's been people that we've had to carry. And so, you know, but he said the word help, and I believe just that 100% that he's in the helping business and he's there to help people become better.
I definitely see a few texts and phone calls in my future to Paul Sunderland, and hopefully he can help to steer us in the right direction.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and by all means, I mean, I am very adamant when I say, Paul, that you're more than welcome to being on this show. And yeah, we will. We'll talk a lot of NBA.
You know, Sean, I think Paul was the first person that almost seemed like they wanted more time and they wanted to stay on with us. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to be on with the Double S Express, my friend? But I enjoyed, you know, talking with Paul, and you know, just the opportunity. And he said I was just fortunate, and he used the word lucky at one point as far as, you know, getting the chance to call the Lakers game, you know, and doing it for 52 games, you know, to end out the season before Chick Hearn, the great late Chick Hearn, came back to finish the season. How exciting is that, Sean, that, you know, you get a chance to call games for Showtime, you know, one of the greatest spectacles that there is in professional sports. And he got a chance to call it through his repetition, through understanding that he had to put himself in a position outside of calling volleyball and some of the other sports that he called. You know, man, what an awesome opportunity for him to do that.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions we can ask him next time is, you know, how did that feel? Did he ever take a minute and realize he's the second Laker announcer?
Man, I don't think you realize it until it's all said and done. And, you know, he's got a lot left, even though, he's saying he's at a point in his life to where he's content and he understands that, you know, he can help other people. But, I just think that that's something that you look back on when it's all said and done and the curtain closes, if you will.
If you and I can have a career in sports half as good as Paul Sunderland, I think we'll be doing all right.
Yeah, it's definitely on the way. I just think that, you know, for us, just keep plugging away. Keep, you know, getting the reps in. And, you know, I felt awesome when Paul was talking about all the sports that he covered, because I was, you know, for me covering a lot of sports this year, I'm thinking, man, is this something that I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, if you want to get that shot, you know, you have to step out of your comfort zone and you have to call, you know, certain sports that you're not familiar with. Understand that you're only going to expand your greatness when you learn them. When we're talking about motocross or we're talking about track and field, we're talking about cross country, whatever the sport is, make sure that you dive in and you learn and you understand exactly what you're getting into, because you don't want to get caught off guard. And that's the part where Paul is talking about helping. You know, and sometimes he's come across some guys that just needed a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance, and it's always good to have somebody with that knowledge.
Words of wisdom here on the Double with the Double S Express from not only Paul Sunderland, but Sean Boyd as well. It's been a great show, 57. Big-time guest number one was Monty Buckley with VegasFundamentals.com. Find out the good things they're doing with student-athletes. And Paul Sunderland, an amazing sports broadcaster, was our big-time guest number two tonight, and he stayed on a long time with us, so thanks to Paul for that.
And, yeah, so, you know, and, of course, you know, these big-time guests are, you know, we're going to continue to bring in these awesome guests. And so, you know, you'd mentioned Monty Buckley, of course, you know, getting a feel from an athletic perspective and how you actually play the sport and, you know, go on to do some great things, you know, in the community. Of course, Paul Sunderland, also an athlete playing in the 84 Olympic volleyball team with the likes of Chris Marlowe and Karch Karai and Steve Timmons, you know, just to name a few. And of course, you know, growing up in Los Angeles and giving his story on getting that opportunity. So, you know, two great guests that we've had on the Double with the Double S Express. And so that's going to be it for show 57. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer, and Alicia Flores, producer. You guys have a great week. You've been listening to On the Double. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.